So just to remind you, I've been keeping my mask on because we do have people here today who are concerned about the pandemic right now, and we also want to support them as well. So when I was just beginning as a classical singer, there were some different things that we did to earn money. This was something that you might be unaware of, but in choirs, especially in New York City and in this area, there are temples, there are different churches. And what they do is they hire professional singers, many times people that they know, or, you know, maybe they want to build up their choir. And so they hire a section leader in the choir to help support the choirs to sing. So I've known about that all my life. I was singing in a choir, in my church choir, since I was a kid. And when I began to study classical music, my first teacher actually was a Jewish man, and he told me you can get a job with a temple. You could go and you can sing at a temple as a Gentile, as a non-Jew. And you can go there and sing because the Jewish people hire non-Jewish people to sing the music at their services, especially during this time of the year, which is called the High Holy Days. And so this person that I knew, who was an organist, said to me, would you like to have a job singing at a temple during the High Holy Days? And I said, okay, sure, what's that? And he said, well, it's this time, these are very special holidays that we have at the temple, and we have a choir, and the majority of the people that are in the choir are Gentiles. So the people can concentrate on their service, and they can concentrate on what they're doing. So it sounds a little bit strange, right? But they do have that kind of custom. And so I took the job, you know, and I was introduced to the High Holy Days in this kind of a way. It wasn't just a holiday from school. It became an introduction to what really the Bible teaches and that the Jewish people still use today for these special days. And so I thought today it would be good for us, since we oftentimes only see those days as like a day off from school. You know, it's a holiday, a Jewish holiday, that we would look at this because it is one of the most, if not the most important concepts for our belief in Jesus Christ. And so I thought we could take a look at that since it's fresh on these high holy days in the Jewish faith, that we would look at Yom Kippur. Now, the first one is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the new year, right? You probably know this. Maybe you know some Jewish friends, and they've told you this, or you're aware of that. And then there's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur means the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, okay? And that is a very somber day in comparison to Rosh Hashanah. It's a day that we're going to talk about more in just a moment. And then the last one that we just recently, that we can see was recently practiced by the Jewish people was last Monday. It was Sukkot. And this is the Feast of the Tabernacles. I went to get my car fixed in a town where there are many Jewish people. And I really love seeing all the Jewish families walking. Nobody drives a car. You know, maybe you've noticed that in Teaneck. We have many Jewish friends living in the area here. And you can see the families all walking to the temple and back home again. There's no driving. Just driving is forbidden on a day like that. And so they walk together. And it's actually quite beautiful to see families together. And they're all very happy. You know, there are all these things around us that we can see. And it reminds us of the Bible and also of the Jewish faith and of our own faith. And so when I was there, I went up to one of the young men who was walking along. He looked like he was maybe in high school. And I said, hi, can you tell me what you're carrying? And they were all carrying something in a long case. And some of them were like see-through kind of cases. Others were like made out of leather, probably reused each year for this purpose. And he said, it's a palm. So they have palms that they carry on the Feast of the Tabernacles, you know. So it's something joyful that they also use on that day at that time. And so you might keep your eyes open if you live in an area where there are Jewish people, and you'll see on those high holy days people going to the temple, and they'll be worshiping God in this tradition that they have. Well, these symbols and all of these holidays have rich meaning for us as Christians, right? We know that the Lord Jesus came and he brought the fulfillment to these traditions. And so now we worship Jesus Christ, and the Jewish people, for the most part, unless they're Christian Jewish people, are still worshiping and waiting for the Messiah. So they're waiting for Jesus Christ still to come. And so they continue on in these traditions. But especially today for communion, guys, I really think it's important for us to look at Yom Kippur. And it's wonderful that we can do that, because there is a tremendous, tremendous blessing in Jesus Christ on the Day of Atonement. And so we're going to take a look at that briefly today. And I want to look at just a few scriptures that are going to help us to be able to see that. Pat just read the one from Hebrews 9:11-14, right? And so we are introduced to this idea, when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once and for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So to be able to understand this writing in Hebrews, and I really think, you know, it's important for all of us to know what is written in Hebrews, because it explains everything detailed of what we were talking about in terms of the Jewish people, and they're celebrating these traditions that they're still following. But it gives meaning in Christ. So if we turn to Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, right, it's in the Torah. That is one of the books that the first five books of Moses that the Jewish people study, only those, really those books. It says this in chapter 16, 5-10. He shall take from the congregation, meaning the high priest, he shall take from the congregation of the people of Israel two male goats for a sin offering. So we got two goats, right? Two male goats for a sin offering. So this is going to be on this Day of Atonement. One ram for a burnt offering, okay? Two goats for a sin offering, one ram for a burnt offering. Aaron, the high priest, shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself, right? He has to offer this for his own sins, right? And shall make atonement for himself and for his house, right? And so he has to go through this kind of a ceremony to purify himself. It's very, very important. It's actually death. Death is very close by for anyone who does something wrong in these kind of ways, right? He offers for himself and makes atonement for himself and for his house. Then he shall take two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Of course, this is the tabernacle, right, at that time. Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for Azazel. Now, we don't have time to talk about Azazel, but really what we're talking about is going to be a place that is going to be designated in the wilderness for this goat to go to. So Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one lot for the Lord, the other for Azazel, and Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and use it as a sin offering. Okay, so this one goat is going to be offered as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell shall be presented for Azazel, shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Azazel. Have you ever heard of a scapegoat?
Yes.
Right? That is where this comes from, right? A scapegoat is someone who takes the blame, right? They take the blame upon themselves, right? And so that is really what is happening here. It's a very interesting, very strange kind of a tradition for us today to think about, but there was one goat that was going to be offered up as a sacrifice. The other one, the priest put all of the sins of the people of Israel onto this one goat and sent it off into the wilderness. And that's really what happens. They practice these things. And so you can see what was done with sin. It was cast off into the wilderness. Right? So this is a very strange kind of an idea for us. The Jewish people don't do this anymore because there are no longer any sacrifices, right? The sacrifices ended with the temple when it was destroyed, right? After Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. He foretold the temple being destroyed, and it was destroyed, and that ended all of these sacrifices. So the Jewish people have no longer had a high priest that would represent them in this kind of a situation and give an offering like that. And so what you will hear instead is that they have a day of atonement where they gather together in the temples, like where I was singing, and they would present themselves before God and ask for forgiveness. This is one day, right, in the year. They ask for forgiveness, and then they are also to practice forgiveness among one another. A good friend of ours I saw on Facebook was sharing that very thing with us and telling us their custom and saying, this is a day of atonement for us. It's Yom Kippur, and it's a day when we have to practice forgiveness, forgiving one another, right? But they don't believe in the Savior. They don't believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior, right? And so they have another version of the same thing that we just read about in Leviticus, only it's without a sin offering, it's without a blood offering. And that is what God requires for our sins, right? So basically they are living with the concept of forgiveness, but it really doesn't go deep into the soul because of the fact that there isn't a blood offering that they're recognizing. Is that clear?
Yep.
Right. So they are practicing forgiveness, and it's good. It's a good thing, but they're also missing out on what we're going to talk about now. So the next scripture that we're going to talk about is let's go back to just verify what we just read in the scripture that Pat read today. When Christ appeared as the high priest, so here we are, the high priest. He's calling, the writer here is saying that Christ appeared as the high priest. The high priest was the one that went in and gave the sacrifice. He had to purify himself. But Christ does not need to do that. But he is the high priest. He's the one that stands before God and takes on this position that he is the mediator between mankind and God. Right? And then through the greater and more perfect tent that is not made with hands, not of this creation, that is of heaven, right? Of God in heaven. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. And so what he's really talking about here is that Christ went to the cross. Right? He went to the cross as the high priest himself representing the people. He went to the cross and he died on the cross as a sacrifice. He was the lamb, the sacrificial lamb. So Jesus Christ, and this is so important for us to remember, he is both the high priest and the sacrificial lamb. His blood was poured out for us. And so why is that? Because Christ is the Son of God. He is the perfect God who came and gave his life like that. Even though he is the great one, the Son of God, the creator, he was there at the beginning of creation, and yet he offered himself on the cross for our sakes, and he became that sacrificial lamb. There's no more need for the sins to be put on to a scapegoat and sent off into the desert. Jesus became that person. He is the person that died for our sins, and all of our sins were cast upon him. Right? And so the way that we look at the scriptures in the Old Testament helps us to be able to see and appreciate what Jesus did. He gave his life for you and for me. He was killed and sacrificed on that cross for you and for me. Amen? Yeah. So that is really the meaning for it today. When we reach this day of atonement and we think about it for the Jewish people, we can be reminded, yes, there is a day, and there was a day that existed for the Jewish people where they set that aside. It was a very holy day where they sacrificed through the high priest, sacrificing this lamb. Their sins were forgiven. And then they were expected to carry on from that day to live in accordance with God's laws. But today, because of Jesus Christ, we have the security in knowing that our sins are forgiven when we believe in his name. He has done it. And it says there in this verse 12, he entered once for all. There's no need for each year for someone to do something like that. We can remember him on that day, perhaps, but we remember him every day in our lives and the way that we live. Okay, so that's one of the scriptures. Now, there's another scripture in that carries on in Hebrews 9:24-28. Listen to what I say. If you want to read along, it's chapter 9, verses 24-28 in Hebrews. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, like the tabernacle or the temple, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, it's not over and over and over again, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus is the higher one. Right? The high priest sinned and had to give a sacrifice to purify himself before entering into the most holy place. Jesus does not need to do that. He is holy God. Right? And he represented us on the cross there as the high priest and the Lamb of God. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So this is now the part that we are getting into, where I really learned a big lesson this week in looking at this more clearly and more in more detail, that is very, very exciting. I was very excited about sharing this today for this purpose, that there is when we are used to taking communion, there is this time afterwards where I'll say a prayer and thank you, Lord, bless Lord, for having given us this opportunity to come and to be, you know, sharing in this remembrance of Jesus Christ and our sins are forgiven. But there's often times for me personally, a time of a lull and unsurety that you feel like, okay, we finished that, but what do we do now? Now I know what to do. We rejoice. We have to celebrate. And so we have to, from now on, when we celebrate the communion together, we can pray, and we're going to take it very somberly, because sin is a terrible thing. It cost our Savior his life. But after we have taken the bread and the cup together, we are going to rejoice. Amen. We are going to celebrate, because that is what the Jewish people know. They don't know Jesus, but they do know that after the Day of Atonement and after this time of fasting, coming before God and pouring themselves out that way, they feast. They feast. And that is what we as Christians need to learn from the Jews. Right? We are not people who simply feel like every day is the same as every day, so we can just kind of just, because that actually takes away something of what God is trying to say to us. There are special days. There are days when we really want to concentrate on this kind of a teaching. But after we read this and we experience what God is doing through the communion, we rejoice. We celebrate. And I want to choose some songs that are going to help us to be able to do that. Today's song is a little bit not that way, but we can still sing it with joy in our hearts. Okay? So we have a Savior who died for us. He offered himself for us, and we give thanks to him. The last scripture is building upon that. It's in Hebrews 10, chapter 10, 19-25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, right? This is going in through the curtain that the high priest went through, and Jesus went through that curtain to represent us. That is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That is the assurance. Since Jesus has done that, then he has opened the door for us to go through that curtain too, and to be in the presence of God and to meet with God. and we draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Our hearts have been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water through Jesus. Amen. He has done that. And so we are clean, right? We are clean. We are clean before him. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. Amen? Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. These are the things that come after communion. We don't just take communion and go home and say, okay, now we have, you know, we've remembered Christ. We have done this, and now we know that we're forgiven. No, we go out and we show people in the way that we act. Our hope is unwavering. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. And that is what we do as a church. We help each other and stir one another up. We help one another to find ways. How can we do that? How can we effectively love people and show good works? Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And the day that is drawing near is of Jesus Christ's second.
Yes, amen.
And so that's where we are. If you want to tell somebody who you are in these days, if you want to share who it is that you are a person who is the recipient of grace through Jesus Christ, who is the high priest, and he offered himself as a lamb to die for my sins. And I am forgiven because of his blood being poured out on the cross. I am forgiven. My sins are washed away. And I am free now as his child to go forth and to encourage people with love that I have felt from Jesus. And also to tell them about him so that they also can be saved. Right? We're talking about, what did I say, how many percentage of people in Hong Kong know the Lord? 12%. That's not very much. Right? And so, and we, when we go through each nation, and including our own, right, we should be concerned about that. Right? And so when we look at ourselves, we think, yeah, but this is just incredibly great news. Why are not more people aware of this? Well, we have to tell them.
Yes.
And that's what Jesus said. You have to tell people about this. You know, that there was this kind of a custom. And what better way than to associate it with the things that are going on in our lives today? Don't look at the holidays that are going on around you with a blind eye. Look into them, right? Take a look at the different religions that are in our society and think, what is it that they believe? What are they doing? How does that affect me? Do they know the real truth behind Jesus Christ? Do they know that their sins can be forgiven because Jesus once for all died on a cross for them? Right? It's a beautiful thing. Right? And so that is really what he's doing. And if you have time to go through the book of Hebrews and read through these things, it will explain all of the Bible to you. It will explain all of the things in the Bible to you so that you have it and you can see these things before you. And God, just like he put me in that temple that day so that I would be exposed to the Jewish people, and I was singing in that choir, and I can still remember meeting the rabbi, and I can still see his face, and I can still see the people that were singing in that choir there. But at that time, I lacked the maturity to really understand that what I was doing there was being a part of something that Jesus fulfilled in the New Testament. Right. It was it changed from an opportunity to make extra money on the side for me as a singer into something that is a life changing experience. Right. And that's what God does in your life. You need to, especially young people, you need to keep your eyes open for opportunities that God is giving to you so that you can recognize that he's at work in your life and that he is going to use you in those kind of situations to be able to speak about what you believe the Bible says. And that's why it's important for us to study it, right? That's why it's important for us to be prepared and to be able to grasp these concepts so that we can know them in our hearts and appreciate God, right? Yesterday we had a CEF training, and there's a lot of different material and a lot of different things that were spoken of in each CEF lesson for children. And one of the things that the person who trained us, Twyla Pellegrino, she said, don't just simply read the text that's given to you for the children's lesson. Learn it. Absorb it. Make it personal. Bring it into your life so that you can say it in a way that is not just going to be simply read from a book that CEF has read, has written. Make it your own. And that's what we all have to do. We have to look at the words of the Bible, and we have to really spend time with them and pray over them and ask questions and seek answers and those different kind of things. But in the end, when you're left and you have somebody on the other end of the phone who's having a bad day and they're looking for someone to tell them that things are going to be all right, then God puts you in that situation and you can communicate with that person from your heart. And whatever comes out at that time is going to be exactly what the Holy Spirit wants you to say to that person. I had a friend named Scott Coyman, and I grew up with this kid. I mean, he was my best buddy. And sadly, he died very young. But I remember when I was in a hotel room, his family was very kind to me, and he used to invite me to go on trips with them. And we went on this one trip, and in the dark of the night, one night, we were talking. He was in his bed, I was in my bed. We were just talking as buddies. And I remember he asked me questions about what I believe. And I wasn't prepared for that. I wasn't prepared for that. And I know that that was an opportunity that passed me by. But I just want to tell you that story so that it won't happen to you that way. Because people have those moments where you're talking to your buddy or you're in a room and you're just talking about all these different things. And most of the time, 98% of the time is spent on having fun and goofing around. And we really had a great time. But he didn't know the Lord Jesus. And he was looking for answers that night. And so it's important for us to anticipate those times and to say, my life is here for those kind of moments.
Amen.
It's not here for working. It's not here for earning money. It's not here to spend money. It's not here to go on vacations. It's not for all these are all great things. But my purpose here is as a light for Jesus Christ, because he gave me my life. And I owe that to him. And I say that very, very confidently. I owe him my life. And I love him. And I get very frustrated at the times when I can't say things in the moment where God has given me that time. You know, so it's a beautiful thing. So let me just remind you, before we go into communion and we take this, and I hope that this will help us to be able to appreciate what we're doing today in communion and every day, that Jesus Christ is the high priest, and he goes before the holy God, and he presents himself as a lamb sacrifice once and for all of mankind, never needing to be repeated again. He died for our sakes to put death to death and to give us life. And that is what life is about. And because we know that, then we can confidently meet before God with a clear conscience. And on that day when our lives are over, and each one of us will face that day, we can know that we belong to Christ. And that we can have a clear conscience that because of that, we can enter into heaven. He has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And therefore, brothers, because we have this confidence, by the new and living way that he opened us for us through his flesh, and since we have a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider to how to stir up one another to love and good works. This would be a good thing to talk about in Sunday school, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And that is what we gather for, to encourage one another all the more as the day is drawing near when Jesus returns. Amen.